Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 3rd of March, recording at 8:34 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week. This was the week when stock market bears began to get the upper hand. And of course, it is also the week of the third anniversary of the global stock market rally. And it is also a week in which bond investors began to lose their nerve. Similarly, dollar bulls have been in retreat this week. And in metals, well, they had certainly seen some, oh, I was going to say trend deterioration. That was true where some of the industrial metals had become overextended, but they've been pushing a bit higher in here overall, partly because of the demand and also partly because of the dollar's overall weakness. Okay, so let's step back now and excuse me, look at the big picture. First, 3 years on into a global stock market rally, and signs of overheating in equity prices, signs of loss of momentum in some of the stock market indices. Short-term interest rates still going up. Bond markets looking at a potentially dangerous level. Oil prices not a serious headwind, but steadying. Talk that quite possibly there's a bit of liquidity contraction going on. General nervousness in the air. This is a time to be cautious here for stock markets because a medium-term correction really does beckon, in my view. Now, my best-case scenario is that markets just range sideways for a little longer. Maybe a few of the very strong ones push a bit higher, but that generally the overall loss of momentum and topping process that we're seeing continues and takes us into a correction. And I'm not looking for more than a correction, but that lasts, as I said, for 3 to 6 months. If that doesn't happen, as I've said before, the main reason why that might not happen is just because of the immense amount of liquidity that is still sloshing around the system, and that the people who are now saying that it's contracting are premature or outright wrong. But I think more than likely there are enough factors, well, I think there are more than enough factors, I should say, to tip stock markets into this correction. That's not panic stations, as I've said before, and it will create another splendid buying opportunity in all probability, because if we see a 3 to 6 month correction, you can bet that central banks will be concerned about the implications for global GDP growth and that they will start to cut interest rates once again. At least the Fed certainly will, and the Bank of England and the European Central Bank would probably not be that far behind, and Japan would just defer the inevitability of its eventual interest rate hikes. Now, in terms of which markets are likely to do best, I've never shared, excuse me, I'm going to take a drink of water. I'm going to switch off and take a drink of water because of the scratchy voice. Sorry about that. In terms of how this will affect the various different markets, I've never been of the school that took the Buggins turn view that tech had to run strongly now and that Wall Street would stage a dramatic and powerful late to catch up move in the cycle. I think Wall Street has lagged for a reason, mainly valuation contraction. And I do think that the real warning sign is that the best markets overall are showing signs that they're running out of steam. What would those best markets be? Emerging markets, Japan, South Korea, Australia, Canada, South Africa. In other words, resources plays and the top machine manufacturers. I'm putting Japan and South Korea in that category, and many would add Germany as a third. I'd put Germany as a fairly distant third on that, not because of the companies and the products, but because of the overall Euroland economic policies relative to Japan and South Korea. The resources theme remains very, very strong. People have been trying to bury this, or I put it this way, they've been writing obituaries for it for the last 3 years. I think that it's going to go on more or less in perpetuity. That doesn't mean that we see resources prices moving steadily higher because they'll run ahead of themselves a little bit too much. And I had one email, I think a relevant digression here, saying that I really hadn't pointed out the extent to which funds had pushed up those prices. Well, and here's the real story, I think, on this overall, that hedge funds will actually be a restraining factor on the overall super cycle secular trough to peak highs that we see in the resources sector. They would exacerbate the upside move. How can I possibly say that? Because the hedge funds are by nature short or at most medium term players. Sure, they'll go in if they see momentum in a market and they'll help to drive it up, and then the first time that momentum begins to wane, most of them will start pulling out again, providing supply. The real underlying, which again, providing that supply helps to prevent the most extreme overbought conditions that we've seen in commodity markets in past cycles when there were far fewer hedge funds and the speculators were mostly small, and commodities moved in a cycle where either everybody wanted it or no one wanted it. So hedge funds will add to the volatility and create some very sharp by creating some very sharp swings in both directions, but they'll actually, I think, narrow in the trough to peak cycle for resources. But it's going to be a very, very big overall uptrend because of the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme. I don't need to elaborate on that. I've said so much about it in the past, and the newest of subscribers can pick up more on that in the various writings and earlier audios that I've produced. So, because I'm not looking for a bear market, I'm not really looking for new investment sectors to buy if we get that medium-term correction that I'm talking about. If we were having, or if I felt we were going to see a major bear market in here, then I would want to see the dust settle, and then I would be looking for new sectors in the stock market which would lead. And I think it's well-known fact of investment history that the sectors that lead the last major move on the upside, and that of course was the telecoms and technology boom of the latter 1990s, do not lead the next upward move, which we have seen from the March 2003 until now phase on the upside. So I'm just, again, emphasize this point, I'm just looking for a medium-term correction, and then I will be looking to add to my core investment positions. And I will want to open some new ones. I'll have more Japan. I will open longs in Korea. I don't yet have that. I'm freeing up more money for my investment portfolio, and that money is coming from the trading profits that I've had over the last 3 years that I haven't otherwise allocated or spent. And so those two markets will be of interest to me. I will have probably more China because of the opportunity that I think exists here through at least 2008. And incidentally, I regard markets such as China, where I bought the Atlantis China Fortune Fund. I think that those will hold up far better during the medium-term correction that I expect, because they really hadn't moved all that much, and the Chinese government is very much behind this rally in stock markets, helping to push it along, wanting to get the stock market up. I will buy more in Asia. These will be probably mainly in the form of diversified funds within the Asian region. That's the one that I like the most in terms of long-term potential. And I will most certainly, though, buy or buy more India, increase my Indian investments. That remains my very favorite stock market for the very long term. In terms of resources plays, here I will be shifting the weighting of my portfolio somewhat overall. I think a few months ago, maybe it was less than that. I think it was a month or two ago. I listed my top 10 holdings, and I said that my overall, these are my top 10 investment holdings, and I said that my overall portfolio weighting was about 70, not 70, sorry, I beg your pardon, was, I think it was probably about 60, I think I said 60-40 resources relative to emerging markets, which were mostly Asia plus Japan. Now, that ratio will be shifting to at least 50-50. In other words, I will be looking to establish more investment holdings in the emerging markets area. And again, this will be mostly Asia. I'll be putting more money in there than I will be in the actual resources areas. But key resource stocks that I really do like: Inco, BHP Billiton, Rio Tinto Zinc. I might well add to those positions, and I might well add to a metals fund. For instance, I might go back into the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust, which is really one of my favorites for many years. I've been in and out of it probably too many times. The last trade was a very nice one, but I would have done even better if I'd stayed with it just throughout. But let's just give you, I don't want to digress too much, just to give you an idea of the areas that I'm really going to concentrate on. Now, subject to price, I might well consider a fund that was invested, oh, in the Central and South American markets, provided it was mainly weighted in favor of Brazil and Mexico. I might consider an Eastern European fund, again, very much subject to price. I'm not really interested in Wall Street so much. I'm not really. I think the valuation contraction story, as I've said before, will go on or will run for quite a lengthy period, and I'm not really interested in the European markets. I mean, everything will go up. I think in 2007 and 2008, barring some sort of ecological disaster that I'm not about to predict, but or a really, really serious bird flu type of thing, and I'm not going to predict that. But I will, let's say, be concentrating in the emerging market areas plus China. Well, that's emerging market plus Japan and South Korea. Now, what about the government bond markets? I have reopened some shorts and I intend to add more. I think this is not a an easy trading environment for these markets. I maintain that the secular bull market in government bonds ended back in June 2003 for all intents and purposes, and we have seen a predictably long topping out phase in terms of government bond prices, bottoming out phase in terms of government bond yields. And the early stages of a secular bear market are tend to be fairly choppy because there's lots of disagreement, just as the and there's more ranging than actual trending, just as we see with the early stages of a secular bull market in equities. I think back to Wall Street in the early 1980s. Most people didn't believe it. Get far more ranging than you do trending. So I don't expect the bond yields to be spiking upwards for very long. I expect it to be a phase of a leg up, lots of ranging, maybe get a two-thirds retracement, and so on. And at this stage, we haven't even seen government bond yields complete their bases. So my case has yet to be proven, and we have not yet seen government bond prices complete their tops. Again, my case has not been proven, but I think the inflationary pressures that the bond market is beginning to notice, that some of us have been talking about for quite some time, are pretty hard to deny when you have the prices of most assets just rising enormously over the last 3 years. When we look at the money supply growth that we've seen all around the world, when you look at the monthly bills that you had to pay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you see the inflationary pressures. That doesn't mean that there won't be pockets of deflation or disinflation due to globalization and technology. But the overall environment that I look for is one of gradually increasing inflation, not in any linear fashion, but in rolling waves. For instance, and central banks know this, or know that there's that inflation pressures are building, otherwise they wouldn't be raising interest rates, would they? So what will happen? Central banks will raise interest rates a little bit more, stock markets will come under pressure, and then when central banks begin to be concerned about the economic implications of a stock market sell-off, then they'll start to lower those interest rates once again. But interest rates will bottom out at a higher level than we saw 3 or 4 years ago. And that lowering of the interest rates, I think, will help to fuel that good, strong stock market environment that I expect in 2007 and 2008. Central banks will begin to move interest rates up again, and they'll go higher than whatever peaks we see in short-term rates this year. So I think it'll be that type of move, ranging advance with the lows, as I've said before, for short-term interest rates in the weaker phases being rising gradually over the years, and the highs also rising. So in other words, you'll see a jagged upward trend for short-term interest rates over many years. I think that will certainly apply as far as the European interest rates, US interest rates are concerned. And of course, Japanese interest rates can only go up from here. It's just a matter of when. So, bond markets, I'm repositioning myself with some short positions and will continue to do so. Currencies. I've been looking for the dollar to head back down this year, get back down to that level around 80. Interest rates are still in its favor, so it's been a ranging decline, but people are beginning to look beyond the interest rates, and there are other factors here that can influence people. One would be For instance, you take an issue such as P&O, the ports company that that Dubai wants to take over. That there's a significant element within the U.S. Congress that oppose this move. Well, that sort of sends a signal to some very, very wealthy personal and institutional investors within the Middle Eastern region who hold billions in terms of petrodollars. That discourages them from putting money into the U.S. That would include U.S. Treasury bonds. That would include the U.S. stock market as well. And that, of course, would have a knock-on effect for the U.S. dollar. So there are a lot of different factors at play in here. But I think the dollar's period of greatest vulnerability will be when the Fed is lowering interest rates once again. And I expect to see a move back down to that 80 level for the U.S. dollar index. You can look at those charts in the library, of course, and I may post that U.S. dollar index a little later on this evening. Now, in the resources area, I think I've pretty well covered that. I have light exposure here right now because this has been a very popular game overall, and it's one that a lot of us have participated in quite actively and at times aggressively. I've cut way, way back. It is a crowded patch. I have been concerned about the possibility of a cascade effect if we get stock markets taking fright in a medium-term correction. That could cause, as investors reduce some of their stock market exposure, that would also cause them, I think, to reduce some of their commodity exposure and gold. Other commodities could easily come off in sympathy as there was sort of a general flight to cash. That incidentally might firm up, probably would firm up the bond market again at some stage, but only temporarily. What I'm looking for currently are trades where the pitch isn't too crowded, and therefore I don't really feel that there are that many people who are short government bonds. Actually, all the press we've seen is about pension funds buying them up to the gills. So I like that. Also shorting the dollar, as I did yesterday, I expect to add to that position overall. I'm looking for some more medium-term trends here, and I'm also holding some stock market short positions, but that would be strictly a short to medium-term play. As far as gold is concerned, though, if I held, I mainly play that through futures, as you know, but I would feel perfectly comfortable if I had a gold ETF, and perhaps I should at this stage. And I may well play the leveraged game once again relatively soon. But I deal in the precious metals almost entirely through futures on a spread bet basis for tax efficiency purposes. But I do regard a gold ETF as a very appealing a core position that I would not worry about very much, and I maintain that gold is a buy on corrections. What's a correction? Well, I think a $30 correction is a one of the smaller, say, medium term, up to a few from a few weeks to a few months, corrections. It gets even more interesting at $40 to $50. And that anything beyond that is likely to be comparatively rare. So something between in the $30-$60 range, I think gold is definitely in an accumulation zone. I've said that for a long time, and I also will continue to favor silver overall, although I have no position at present in silver, but that just remains high beta gold, in my view. I like all the precious metals for their long-term potential. In terms of Crude oil. I'm very, very happy with my Investec Global Energy Fund investment, but I expect it to have a quiet year in here, partly because it had done so well previously, partly because of the medium-term correction that I'm talking about, and definitely because of the medium-term correction that oil is experiencing overall. And I do think that again, the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme will remain very, very powerful. And for that reason, I have no intention of ditching my more recent but clearly mistimed natural gas long position. I had lunch with someone just at the beginning of the week who had said, when natural gas was coming off that high, what odds would you have given that the United States would see the warmest January in modern history drive it all the way back down into the base formation? Well, I would have bet against that actually happening, but this is life in markets. This is reality in markets. Stuff happens. It's unpleasant. Therefore, it's very important to make sure that one's trading well within one's overall capital allocation. But I'm not about to walk away from natural gas, one of the major supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme participants. Not about to walk away from that at levels that are as depressed as it currently is. If I were arriving on the scene and had been on a 6 month sabbatical, I would certainly be going into natural gas. I'm not trying to make a recommendation for that now, but a number of people are saying, when are you selling your natural gas, or are you going to sell out your natural gas position? All I can do is be absolutely candid with you. I'm not going to sell that position out. Because I think it's very close to a bottom and that the next big move will be up. Is it a screamingly obvious and attractive safe trade? Of course not. There's no such thing. Probably the least risky trades, although not always the most profitable ones, are the ones that are in line with it, with a trend. And we don't yet have evidence that the natural gas has clearly bottomed. But I'm digressing from the big theme. In terms of the big theme, I think that crude oil will go a lot higher and that natural gas will go a lot higher. Natural gas will go above its previous highs. Almost certainly not this year, but I'm talking about 5, 10, 15 years down the road. I don't see this industrial resources theme ending anytime within the next 10 to 15 years. And probably longer, unless there is an ecological disaster of biblical proportions. And as I've already said, I'm not going to be forecasting that. So, trying to do a little wrap in here, I'd be wary of stock markets in terms of adding new positions. I don't think anyone needs to panic out of quality investment holdings, but you would need to be prepared psychologically to see a temporary period of profit erosion there. I'm perfectly happy with that, especially as I will lay on more hedge short positions, asymmetrical hedge short positions, as I have done recently. And government bonds, that will be very much an important signal for global stock markets. I just want to review very quickly. Here are all the negatives here in the short term. Short-term interest rates, oil a potential negative, not currently a headwind, but that can change quickly, as you know, when we've got a price of crude oil trading here today, whereas it's 63.67, so up a little bit again today. Government bonds, if government bonds continue to weaken short term, I think the biggest the most bearish period for government bonds is much further down the road, but the patterns have been deteriorating recently, as you'll almost certainly be aware. And if they continue to deteriorate, that's a major negative for stock markets. Watch also the Japanese yen. It's a bit weaker in here today, but if we were to see major strength in the Japanese yen, that would indicate a significant unwinding of the yen carry trade, and that would have the effect of reducing liquidity in overall temporarily. And it would mean that people were also going to be unwinding some of their leveraged trades. What are the leveraged trades? We'll just look at anything that's gone up a lot recently. And watch the reaction lows for the various different stock market indices that you're looking at. Some of those reaction lows are beginning to give way. Not a whole lot of them, but certainly we have seen some additional technical evidence of deterioration this week, and I think it's quite significant the way the European markets have started to come off. And I think that's it. I'm sure I've gone over half an hour. I apologize for that. Have an absolutely splendid weekend.